The name of Judas Iscariot is a name that will ever go down in history as the type of the arch-traitor and the arch-betrayer. He is the picture of a man who would turn round, really, and bite the hand that fed him for the sake of his own advancement and for the sake of his own petty gain. It is certainly no compliment to term anybody by the name of Judas. And notice that he did it all for the sake of a few pieces of silver. Many a man has done the same, and men have sought by trying to advance themselves to try in this world to gain a few things, and for the sake of that advancement have turned their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon his gospel. And Judas sold the Lord of glory for those few pieces of silver. I think of the scene in Gethsemane when he comes with a band of soldiers and with the priests, and he comes to where the master is, and he goes up and he greets the Lord with a kiss. I hear the master say to him, "What thou doest, do quickly." And then I see the man stricken and terrified in his conscience. He realizes what he has done, and in turmoil of soul, he goes out and he brings himself to a tragic end. He buys a rope, and in attempting suicide, he falls down headlong across a cliff and dies an awful death. He's the man that kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. The Lord said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And Judas kissed the blessed Redeemer and still ended up in a Christless eternity. And you know what makes the fact of that all the more tragic? It's the fact that Judas enjoyed so many privileges. And Judas, in many ways, was a religious man. He was a man, we would maybe today count him as an arch-villain. We would probably count him as kind of like a God-hater. When people hear the name Judas Iscariot, that is the impression that people have about this man. But that's not the reality. That's not the truth. This was a religious man. This was a man who greatly regarded the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that for 3 years, this man's life, he spent walking after the Savior, following where the Master went, listening to the words of the Master. And in many ways, that was not an easy task. You know how the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus, that he had not where to lay his head. And yet this man follows the Savior. And when others are turning their backs upon the Savior, this man is one who is going to stay steadfast. And this is a man who is going to stick by the Savior. Now I wonder tonight, as we come to this gospel meeting, are there those in this meeting who are like Judas Iscariot? You're heading down the road in a lost condition. As far as God is concerned, as he looks upon your soul, as he examines your heart, as he sees what you are, the label that he would put upon you tonight is the label of lost. Oh, you might have a very upright out exterior. You might have that thought that people have that you're respectable, that you might put up the front that everything is well with you. You might have other Christians thinking that you're saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And you're like Judas. You're religious, but you're lost. And I want you to make sure tonight that you are saved by the grace of God, that you are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. What an awful thing to go out of this life having, as it were, walked and been associated with the things of God and been along in gospel meetings and still end up in a lost eternity. I want you to take the warning of this man, Judas. I think the red warning flag waves across the life of this man. And I want us to think about him just for a few minutes at the end of this meeting. There are a number of things about this man, Judas. And I want you to see the first thing is that he was lost in spite of the master he followed. You see, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, we have a list of 12 disciples, and the Lord had specifically picked these men out. Now, we're not told, as is the case with some of the disciples, why or what circumstances it was in which Judas Iscariot was chosen. But what we can see, and we can see that very clearly, is that he was brought along and put in the group of the disciples, the apostles, as it were, and he was numbered amongst the Lord's closest of disciples. And surely that says something about Judas. It shows that Judas was attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know the circumstances, but we certainly know that this man had given up everything else to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think about how this man, as we say, had some commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't that he was a come-and-go disciple. This man had stayed by the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, come thick and thin. And you will remember that there were times in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when people left, when people said, no, we're not walking with you anymore. We read about it in verse 64 of John chapter 6. It says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And then we read in verse 66 of John 6, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And yet when others were leaving, Judas stayed. When others were saying, this is too hard, this is too difficult, the way is too adverse for us to walk this way. When others were doing that, Judas stuck by the Savior. He endured what he needed to endure. He did what he needed to do to make sure that he was walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he may have been lost, but at least he showed some commitment. You know, we could say about Judas that he was the type of person that would have been at both services. He was the type of person that wouldn't have missed the meeting or the gospel meeting. He would have been there. If it was a snow on the ground, and probably wouldn't have been snow on the ground in the Far East there or the Middle East. But nevertheless, whatever the circumstances were, he was going to be there. And maybe you're like that tonight. You're going to be there. You are in the gospel meeting week by week. You like to be here. And yet, dear friend, at the same time, you could show that commitment and that stickability and yet be lost and still go out into a lost eternity. You know, people say to preachers at times, say to me, what about the devoted Roman Catholic? You know, I remember going past when we were driving the children to school when I was ministering in Corrigarry, and it was Lent, I think it was. But I was driving past a chapel out in the middle of the country, and I think it was probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And there were the cars lined up because there was meetings or confession, whatever it was, or meetings for Lent that were going on in the chapel at that time in the morning. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a lot of God's people that wouldn't get up at 6:30 in the morning to go out to a meeting. And yet here are these devoted people, and they would go, and every time the chapel door is open, or it may be in a Protestant church, every time the door is open, they're there. And maybe you say, but what about them? And yet, dear friend, you could be committed. It's not commitment that counts. You know, the Lord said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. And then he says, which were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Dear friend, it is God that saves you. Not what you do, or how committed you are, or how you walk and you are religious, dear friend, it doesn't matter. It's good that you come to meetings and so on, but it'll not save your soul. And I want you to see that Judas Iscariot was lost in spite of the master he followed. And then I want you to see something else. He was lost in spite of the men with which he associated. You see, Judas was lost. You think of the list of the men in Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 and 4. What great men of God they proved to be. Men like Peter and James and John. We think of these men who were filled with the Holy Ghost and went out and turned the world upside down with their preaching. And Judas knew those men. He was an intimate terms with those men. He was friendly with those men. He walked with those men. He spent day by day with those men. He could see the sincerity of these men. They were godly men. Oh, yes, they were men as we all are. They made mistakes. There were times, and the Bible speaks about it, when they did things they shouldn't have done. But nevertheless, here were men who wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a man who is in intimate terms with them. And thank God that still in this land, there are many who are saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Maybe your family members are saved. Maybe your workmates are saved. And they have told you time and time again about the Master. And dear friend, you can see them. Now, I am sure, like all, there are maybe those that you know. And you can point out things that are wrong. And the unsaved person loves to get the saved and put them in the spotlight and point out the things that they do. But I hope that you will admit that most of those people that you know, there is a sincerity there. There is something different. There is something that has changed. And you're on intimate terms with them tonight. Not only do we see his intimacy with them, but their influence upon them. You think, oh, dear friend, of those that you associate with, and they have had an influence upon you. Maybe they've given you advice at times. Maybe there are times when they've steered you away from a path that would have led you down to destruction. And dear friend, you rub shoulders with God's people week by week, and yet you could be lost. This is not what saves you. Coming to church does not save you. Not only do we see the intimacy that they had and the influence that the other disciples had, but I want you to see the identity that he had with them. Because anybody looking in would have said about Judas from the outside, there's no difference. Indeed, you remember how that the disciples, when the Lord said, one among you is the betrayer, and we read that they looked at one another and they wondered who it could be. It was not obvious that it was Judas. It wasn't as if Judas was always going about complaining about the Lord or stirring up conspiracy and putting wee words in the ears of the other disciples. It wasn't like that. They didn't know who it was. And maybe, dear friend, as people look into this meeting tonight, they would take you to be a Christian. Maybe the members of this congregation would take you to be a Christian. And yet you know in your heart, and you know fine well, that you're not. You're identified with the people of God, and you're identified with the church of God. And yet, you could be lost. Lost in spite of the master he followed. Lost in spite of the men with which he was associated. And then I want you to see that he was lost in spite of the message he preached. Because Judas was a preacher. He went out and he preached the gospel. We read how in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, it says that the Savior sent out his disciples to preach. And he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Judas went out with the rest of them to the people of Israel to preach the message of the gospel. He was to preach the imminence of the kingdom of God. He was to preach the possibility that men could see the kingdom of God by Christ. So he was a preacher. Now you're telling me, or maybe you have got it into your mind and heart, that if you are coming to church, and if you're associated with the people of God, and all of these things, that, well, it will be all right for you. But you've never preached the Word of God. But here's a man who was a preacher. Here's a man who preached the message, and yet he was lost. And it reminds us, does it not, that not all who are in the pulpit and not all who are preaching the Word of God are saved people. There are those that are in the pulpits of our land, and well, we know it, hundreds of them tonight, and they are preaching a message that is anything but the gospel, and they are the blind leading the blind. And the Lord Jesus said that both will fall into the ditch, and he predicted that it would be so. And this man here was a man who would preach the word, and maybe you could preach the word. If you got into a difficulty sometime and you were really pressed, so many times have you been under the sound of the Word of God that you could preach the Word. I have known people who, when they were drunk, became preachers. There's a man who used to come to Crossgar. He's passed away now. But he was a drunkard before he was saved. And when he got drunk, he would stand outside of the public house and preach the gospel. And he used to come across the fields to one of our members in Crossgar, and he would stand outside in the field, outside of the house of this man, preaching the gospel when he was drunk. Maybe you could do the same. You've never done it, but you could do the same. And yet you ignore that message and turn your back upon the message. You see, you could preach the message of the gospel and still be lost. You could be a minister of religion, a Sunday school teacher, and still be lost. Because here is this man, and that's the condition that he was in. But let's go further. I want you to see that he was lost in spite of the miracles he performed. Look, turn over to Matthew chapter 10, because I keep referring to it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verses 1 to 8. And we read about the disciples. But I want you to see, look at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 10. It says that the disciples, let's read, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power," notice the 12 disciples, that includes Judas. "He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." So when Judas went out, we read, if you look down to verse 7 and 8, the Lord said to them, "And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then it says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." So here is something absolutely amazing. When you think about this, is a man who almost certainly cast out devils. This is a man who perhaps and probably actually raised the dead in the Savior's name. Now, if you came across somebody like that today who could do that, and these things are passed away, but if you came across somebody that could do that, you would get it hard to believe that they weren't genuine. You would get it hard to believe that that is not a Christian person. You would get it very hard. And I would think that probably many of God's people would be running after them. and maybe even in their droves running after them. But it is very interesting in Matthew chapter 7 about the judgment of the last days. And if you look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, remember what the Lord said about the judgment of the last day. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" They were preachers. "And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." So the Lord says that there will be those on the last day who will come, and they will say that they have preached the word of God, and they have cast out devils, and they have done signs and wonders, and yet they are not saved. They are lost. And it is obviously possible then to do even wonders in the Lord's name and be lost. And you maybe tonight are trying to tell yourself that you're all right because you come to church, and maybe because you read your Bible every day and you comfort yourself with the little that you do. Dear friend, here's a man who went out in the face of the Jewish people and preached the word and did these things, and yet he ends up lost. You see, as we say, it's not what you do, not what you have done that matters. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved by his grace? Have you just simply come and put your trust in the grace and mercy of our Savior tonight? Oh, that you might come and trust him. But then I want you to see something else. He's lost in spite of the ministry he received, because he had heard messages from the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that there ever has been or ever will be, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that message in Luke chapter 16 about money and greed and pride. And those were the lessons that Judas needed to hear. And he heard those messages. He held the bag of the disciples, and he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He was a man who was benighted by greed. He heard the story about a man who came to the wedding feast about without the wedding garment. And that was the problem with Judas. He wanted to be at the wedding feast. He wanted to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wanted to be there on his own terms. I remember a man that came to the last mission that we had in the church. And he was greatly, he got into business problems. And he had prayed that if God got him out of these business problems, then he would get right. And God got him out of the business problems. And he felt that he needed to get right, but he wanted to do it in his own terms. There were certain things he didn't want to leave behind. And I said to him, it's not the things that matter, the actual things that you don't want to leave behind. It's the fact that you are making conditions to God. Dear friend, you can't make conditions to God. You can't come to God on your own terms. Maybe tonight you have heard the messages about sin, a message about the cross. And thank God tonight for the message of Calvary. We read how in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31 about the Lord Jesus, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So he heard about the cross and he heard about the resurrection. In Matthew chapter 12 and 40, it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And again, there is the preaching of the cross and the resurrection. He heard about the one the Savior would lay down his life as a ransom for many. He heard the message. He heard the way of salvation. He heard that he must come by the way of the cross, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's the message that you need to hear, and that's the message that you need to respond to. You need to come by way of the cross. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. There are hundreds of people who have, in our province, come to gospel meetings and hear the word and sit under the teaching, and they have rejected that. And maybe you've been going to gospel meetings for years, and in spite of the ministry, you're lost. He was lost in spite of the ministry he received. And then something else I want you to see. He was lost in spite of the money he returned. Because after he had betrayed the Lord Jesus, Judas was overcome with this sense of deep sorrow and conviction. And if you look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3, it says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders." Now, you notice what it says. He repented himself. There is a specific, the original language there, the original term there for repentance is not the term that means a sorrow for sin or a turning from sin, but it is a word that just means remorse. It wasn't true godly repentance. But he was sad. He was convicted. He was in turmoil of mind over what had happened and over his sin. And you notice what he said. He said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." He even utters the words, "I have sinned." I wonder, would you acknowledge that? I wonder, would you own up to that? And maybe tonight you will say, "I have sinned," and there is a regret there perhaps. But dear friend, you've never come in true godly repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. A true repentance is saying, "I've done with sin. This sin has benighted me. This sin has brought me nothing but misery. And I'm turning away from it. And I'm turning to the Lord Jesus Christ." But here's a man who put cash before Christ. His priority was his own pocket rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that there is remorse. But look at also there's reparation. We read that he brings the price of the money again to the temple, and he casts the money that had been given him as the price of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, and he casts it at the feet of the high priests. And the chief priests don't want the money. And Judas just throws it to the ground. Oh, he doesn't want the product of his sin anymore. The thing that he had sought brings him no joy, brings him no comfort. And he even tries to make reparation for his sins. But dear friend, the fact is, here is a man who still has not in true repentance turned to the Savior. And dear friend, if you have not in true repentance turned to the Savior, the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." He was lost in spite of the money he returned. But something else, I want you to see that he was lost in spite of the memories he suffers. Because, of course, Judas Iscariot is still in existence today. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, it makes reference to the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now those are ominous words. There was a place reserved in everlasting perdition for Judas. And there is the thought of a place reserved in eternity that I want you to see. Now, there is certainly a place reserved in heaven for those that are saved. If you're saved by grace, you remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. But also for the unsaved, there is a place reserved. You know, in Isaiah chapter 14, we read about how it speaks about hell being moved to meet the unsaved at their coming. Hell awaits its inhabitants. But notice what the Lord said about Judas in Matthew 26 and 24. He said, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Why? Because for all eternity, Judas Iscariot will be tortured by the words that he heard and the opportunities that he was given. Every second, he will remember the Redeemer he rejected and the Savior he scorned. The Savior said of him, it would be better for him if he'd never been born. And dear friend, if you go out to a lost eternity, it would be better for you if you'd never been born. The same is true of every soul that ends up in hell. It had been better for you if you'd never been born. But I'm glad that you need not perish. I'm glad that there's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. I'm glad today that those who come to him, the biggest sinners, can find forgiveness and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, beware of rejecting my Savior. You know, there was a man by the name of Chuck Templeton. And in his early days, Chuck Templeton, he died in Canada. I think he was a Canadian. He was a great preacher. He used to preach with Billy Graham in the early days, preached in crusades. But in 1957, he came to publicly declare that he was an agnostic. And in 1996, he wrote a book which he entitled Farewell to God, My Reasons for Leaving the Christian Faith. And when Templeton was in his 80s, Lee Strobel interviewed him. And he started to ask this man who once had preached the Word of God and now was writing books to say why he had left the Christian faith. And Lee Strobel asked him what he now thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the surprise of Lee Strobel, he said his whole attitude softened. He said that he suddenly relaxed and became comfortable, as if he was talking about an old dear friend. And this is what he said about Jesus Christ. He said he was the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was intrinsically the wisest person that I've ever encountered in my life or in my readings. His commitment was total and led to his own death, much to the detriment of the world. What could one say about him except this was a form of greatness? And Strobel was taken aback by this. This man had written against Christianity, why he had left the Christian faith. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ like this. And Strobel said to him, he said, you sound as if you really care about him. And Strobel describes how Chuck Templeton made a few attempts to answer the question. He was obviously overcome with emotion. And he said he couldn't answer what he'd said. And then Strobel reports what happened. He says, and this is where he put it. He said, if I may put it this way, he said, his voice began to crack. And he said, I miss him. And then the tears flooded his eyes, and he put up his hand, raised his hand to shield his face from Lee Strobel. And while this man began to write against the Lord Jesus Christ and had been preaching the word and doing all these things, and while he was lost, like Judas Iscariot, he missed him. Missed the Savior. I say to you tonight, don't miss him. Find him. Draw near to him. Call upon him for mercy and forgiveness tonight. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee that men and women need not be lost. We're glad, our God, that thou art come to save. We're glad that thou dost die on the cross to save. And we pray, Lord, that none in our meeting will end up in that lost eternity to be with Judas in that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Bless thy word, write it upon hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.